NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead. Well, hello, Todd.
And hello to you, John.
It's you and I today. Greg is traveling again.
Well, and I'm less than a day away from being in the same position as Greg, so I'm glad we got a chance to get together today.
Yeah, and I'm going Wednesday night myself.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just been a busy, busy time. I was looking forward to Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to it to maybe break my travel schedule, because I've been traveling every single week since the end of March.
Jeez.
I'm ready to take a break here.
I'm not going to complain. I'm only going to travel a couple of weeks between now and the end of the year. But we're not here to talk about our travel schedules and all the pains and trials and tribulation of being on the road. We're here to talk about our favorite subject, aviation safety. And in this case, we're talking about an event that has some interesting aspects to it. It was a crash of a banner towing aircraft in Florida in 2019. In fact, this was an event that happened on March 1st, 2019, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There was a banner towing operation where the person was on his very first operational flight towing a banner, and he got into some issues, a low altitude, a losing speed, etc. And unfortunately, the pilot tried what he could to get out of the situation, crashed into a building, and unfortunately was killed in the event. No one else was seriously injured in this. This is unusual for a couple of reasons. Banner towing flights and banner towing accidents are not that unusual. In fact, we did a show on one a few months ago where fortunately the person survived. And this one was one where there's other things to learn from it. And John, we had a little look at the accident and the aircraft that was involved. And you had some comments about the use of an aircraft like this for banner towing.
Well, this is typically an airplane that's used in agricultural purposes, mainly spraying fields for pests, bugs, whatever attacks the crops to keep the yield up. So it's a quite capable airplane, no question. It's pretty powerful, and it's highly maneuverable, but it's unusual to see it used in this banner towing environment. Now, back in the late 90s at the NTSB, Jim Hall was hot on the tail of these banner towing operators because of their safety record. And they would hire these young guys, young pilots, who would be working for next to nothing just to build time. And they would get very little training, enough to satisfy their insurance requirements usually, and be set loose. So it is a concern. And there was a bunch of work being done, a flurry of activity. And then the chairman's term was up and he left the NTSB. And the incoming chairman, with a change of administration, chose not to pursue that effort. And it was unfortunate, but, that's the way it is in Washington.
So, and fortunately, in this case, even though on a higher level policy perspective, this was not a high interest item at the NTSB then or now. But fortunately, in this case, there was quite a bit of information that allowed us to get know, under the hood a bit and understand a little bit more about the context of why this occurred. And we not only had the wreckage that was examined by the NTSB, there were a couple of witness videos which actually gave some insight into the NTSB investigation. They were able to get detailed information about what engine power settings were happening right toward the end of the flight. And given this type of agricultural aircraft that was used in the banner towing, it didn't have the kind of onboard systems that would record that sort of thing. So it was fortunate that there was something out there to help the investigation. Also, we have extensive information about the training record for this operation, for this pilot, and also the pilot's experience. In short, like John was saying, this was someone who was fairly low time, who was doing commercial operations to build up hours. And this is one of the ways that it's done. You go find a commercial operation that does something that you can build up your hours toward whatever you want to do in the future. And you go from there. The level of training that this person had was, in my opinion, not that great. For example, there was an evaluation flight to demonstrate that this person had the basic flying skills in order to operate an aircraft. It was done in an aircraft that was a model that was not like the model he would be flying. He had several days before the event, 0.6 hours, that's like 36 minutes total flight time, of a training flight with banner operations, picking up the banner, dropping it off and such. And the training was not realistic in the sense of he was not doing a full-on banner towing simulated operation. They were just doing things to show that he had the basics to pick up the banner and go. And the day of the event, first time this person was flying for this operation, first day on the job, from the eyewitness accounts, there were things that were completely out of the, let's just say, that would not have been in a safe flying envelope. For example, the report indicates that the banner pilots were supposed to fly between 500 and 700 feet off the ground. Eyewitnesses put the altitude at about 200 feet. And given the witness videos and the fact that it hit a building of a certain size, that's a realistic estimation of how high the airplane was. And again, looking at the whole situation, you have to say to yourself, yes, this is an opportunity for this pilot. Yes, this is a business that, you know, is quite popular around the country, especially there in South Florida. So certainly there's a demand for those services. But it seems to me that the operators were on the legally adhering to the rules when it comes to training and operation. But is this going to be enough to keep this operation safe for the pilots who are flying it and the people in the vicinity?
You know, they call in the report, they called the banner that he was towing medium size, and it was 30 feet tall and 90 feet long. I don't know that I agree with that being medium size. It seems pretty large to me.
And even if this were a lightweight banner, quote unquote lightweight banner, the situation that this pilot faces, 0.6 hours of training with a banner, but the first operational flight was going to be about 2 hours long. Now, I don't know the detailed differences between the operating characteristics and the handling characteristics of this aircraft with and without the banner, but this was a on-the-job training sort of situation. He did not, the accident pilot did not have a realistic training flight that would take him through all the maneuvers and all the patterns and the amount of time in the air that he would get in an operational flight. He was getting it on day one. And we don't know exactly what transpired in the cockpit. There was no cockpit voice recorder. And from the investigation that was done by the NTSB, there didn't seem to be anything mechanically wrong with the aircraft. And the sound spectrum study that they were able to do of the engine noise based on a witness video didn't show anything indicating there was an engine failure. In my opinion, this was something where a lot of things were going on for this first time banner towing operation. And among other things, the altitude was lower than the operator, the flying pilot expected. And he got himself into a situation where he couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, it's obvious that the NTSB claims that the onshore winds blew him off course towards the buildings. And the witnesses said he waited until, well, what appears to be the last minute before he dumped the banner probably afraid to get dumped the banner. You know, being the first day on the job, he didn't want that to happen. So I think he may have waited a little too long to get rid of that drag behind him, even though the airplane may have had enough power to get through it. But the winds were pushing him enough towards the buildings that he couldn't control both. So, you know, inexperienced, new to the banner towing business, not familiar with that airplane. It's probably the first flight he's had in that airplane. And you start adding up all those risks and you end up with an accident.
And yeah, clearly that, you know, getting experience in that kind of aircraft would have been useful. It's unclear to me how to get experience in an aircraft like that without flying an aircraft like that. First of all, this is a single seat aircraft. Second, I'm not aware of any simulations that are out there, either fixed base or full motion, that allows someone to simulate something like this. And I can bet also there's probably a very, very tiny market for that. So if there's someone out there who's aware of a computer desktop simulator or fixed base simulator, or full motion simulator that does this, please get in touch with us. But this is the kind of thing where think about the range of aircraft that do this kind of towing work. It's not like there are manufacturers out there who are customizing aircraft for this one very narrow operation. This was an aircraft that was primarily built for agricultural uses. And the accident that we analyzed before with the banner towing operation, it was a general purpose, a training aircraft. But given that this industry is one that is fairly small, fairly focused, it's unclear to me if there's even enough of a corporate memory from people going to conferences and conventions and trading information that allows a new pilot to effectively learn from the lessons of others before he or she takes their first flight in a banner aircraft.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's nothing in the report that indicates that the pilot had any problems, medical or otherwise. No drugs were found. I mean, it really is a tragedy. If it was really just based on lack of training from the banner towing operation, it killed a young pilot just trying to prepare for a career in aviation. It's really a tragedy.
And one of the other reasons that we're highlighting an event like this is that an event like this typically doesn't have a whole lot of attention given to it. Certainly in the case of this accident, there were some local news stories about this the day it happened. But beyond that, when it comes to the industry looking at this from a perspective of what are the standards that should be out there or should be changed given the level of activity that's out there, the fact that you might not have a lot of people who dedicate their careers to this, this is something where, in my opinion, it's attractive for someone who's building time to do something else. And once they go on to something else, are they going to necessarily spend a lot of their professional time teaching those behind them who are doing the same kind of work? And again, it's not like this is something where there's a huge community of people doing this. If you're flying an A320 or a 737 for the airlines, there might be thousands of people in the country and around the world who are doing this. A wealth of information, official and unofficial, where you can learn about the ins and outs of doing that kind of flight operation. Flying an aircraft in banner towing, my bet is that there's not too much information out there for a new person to learn from others.
Yeah, I remember, again, at the NTSB, when Jim Hall had us looking at all that, there wasn't a lot of information out there. There was a lot of accidents, not all of which were fatal. There were a number of problems, but there was absolutely very little information available. It was almost like it was perishable. If you got it right away, you could get a bunch of information, but if you didn't get there right away, it disappeared quickly.
This accident is an example of sources of information which are common. They weren't common 10 or 15 years ago. For example, we had an eyewitness video from the beach near where the crash occurred. And it's an assumption that if you go anywhere in the world, the average adult has at least one device in their pocket that can record in real time video, audio, what have you. So there's that. There's also the wealth of security cameras that are out there, either your Ring camera for your doorbell or more sophisticated security cameras. And I believe one of the videos we're going to show in this episode is from a security camera. And this is around the world. So if you're towing a banner in a populated area and something happens, the likelihood that you'll have some information is fairly high. Now, this particular aircraft, I don't believe was fitted with an ADS-B broadcasting system. So there might not be anything on someplace like Flight Radar 24 or Flight Aware where you can look at the flight path of it. But certainly, now that these things are common around the country, let's say you're a banner pilot and you know of other banner aircraft that are flying this, maybe you can look up on Flight Radar 24 and say, well, how did this person fly this particular route? It's not an organized way of having information out there to learn from, but the opportunity to find the available information is there that wasn't there 10 years ago.
Yes. And I don't know if airplanes are required to have ADS-B. You know, so that we should look at that as well, just so we know, because it is such a specialized area. And typically their flying is around the farm and it very low, well below 500 feet. The lower they are, the easier it is to spread the chemicals that they have. So it's just a tragedy across the board for this young guy, person.
You know, an idea that just popped in my head is that, you know, in addition to formal reports such as what the NTSB does for this accident and the other one we talked about, there's also close calls where ag pilots might have submitted on their own something to the ASRS database of NASA, where they said, hey, you know, I had to do this, which was a violation, but I had to in order to save the aircraft from crashing. Go to the ASRS database, do a search for, you know, keywords like banner, towing, and whatnot, and see what pops up. And there might be some very useful nuggets of information or insights that you're not going to see from an accident report, because close calls and things that scare the living daylights out of a pilot are a whole lot more common than a plane crash.
Yes. Great sources of information. And we will do the same, because I don't think this will be the last banner towing accident that we'll have. You're talking about, you know, we're moving into the winter time, and in the winter time, Florida becomes the banner towing capital of the U.S. And you know, I've sat down there, away from the beach, on the balcony of a hotel, and could easily see four or five airplanes in my view towing banners. So it's quite common in the winter down there. So let's pray that as a result of this accident, both operators and the FAA has oversight of them. The FAA requires and the operators give meaningful training to these young kids that are coming in to fly these airplanes. Because today there's a million young pilots trying to get ahead, looking for every job they can to build time. You know, so they work for next to nothing, minimum wage at best, just to build the time, because they don't have the money to go fly an airplane on their own for the kind of time that they're looking for. And if you're towing banners, you can get 5-7 hours a day towing banners. And that's, a way to build time pretty quickly, even though the flying isn't particularly challenging most of the time, you know, making circles in the sky. But you know, that's not for us to say. What we want to say is that we want you to fly safely, and we want you to pay attention to what's going on, and we want the people managing the operations to do the same.
Well, the thing that we do with every show is I give a second to the last word, and you give the last word. And this is one of those shows where I said to myself, let me see how the show goes. And whatever idea pops in my head about the second to last word will be the second to last word. And an idea popped in my head 20 seconds ago, and here's my second to last word. If you are out there looking to advance your career, we're not saying avoid banner towing. What we are saying is whatever opportunity that's out there to build up time, look into it. This is a kind of opportunity where there's information out there that can give you insights into what was done in the past, what not to do in the future. And the key thing is to go out there and find it, whether it's looking through the NTSB database to see past accident reports, looking through the ASRS database to look for past close calls, or even talking to the people you'd be working for saying, hey, what are the scary things that I should avoid? What are the things that almost happened in the past I don't want to have happen to me?
How true. How true. And I bet that question never gets asked. Because usually if you're that new in the job, you're not gonna raise those kinds of issues. You're just thankful to get the position and to be able to build time towards the future. Well, and the last word, I'll do what I always do, because we still have plenty of accidents. So if you're going to go flying, do a good job of pre-planning your flight, which might indicate that this individual in this accident did not consider the winds a lot that he was facing. But all of us should consider what the weather is here, there, and in between. And when you get out to the airplane, do a good pre-flight. Just last week, I had a very long discussion with a couple of mechanics from down south. And their experience is watching pilots doing pre-flights was even worse than mine. And I didn't think that was possible. But they talk about guys coming right out of the airplane, never even looking at the airplane, just jumping in and going. And just assuming everything's okay. And I mean, that is a recipe for problems. And after you get in the air, given how many rookie pilots we have out there today, I'm calling, you know, anybody that probably got less than 100 hours a rookie, please put your head on a swivel, look around. We are our brother's keeper, plus we're our own keeper. So avoid a collision in the air. Just too many of them happen every year, or even on the ground. I just heard of another one on the ground, and we just had a commercial corporate airplane with a collision on takeoff. So it's just too many of those happening. We'll get to that corporate event here soon as some more material becomes available. Please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.